Imagine, if you will, walking along the shore of the sea. And as you walk along, you spot a corked bottle. And in the tradition of all curious people, you pick up that corked bottle and uncork it, and out pops the proverbial genie. And he looks at you and he says, "I grant you two wishes. What would you wish for?" I don't know what you would wish for. I'm not even sure what I would wish for, but I do know what Agur would wish for. You know Agur, the son of Yakeh. Agur, the son of Yakeh, who wrote the 30th chapter of Proverbs. He tells us what he would wish for. He says, "Keep falsehood and lies far from me." That's wish one. Wish two, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." May the Holy Spirit guide us as we spend just a few minutes with Agur's two wishes. And strange wishes they are. The first seems straightforward enough that we might have honesty, but really he's asking for much more than mere honesty, as he puts it negatively, "Keeps falsehood and lies far from me." The original word for falsehood might also be just as well translated meaninglessness. It is, for example, the word that's used in the second commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," or a little more woodenly, "Do not lift up the name of the Lord in meaninglessness." It is a word which in some contexts gets to be used for idols. Oddly enough, the second word translated lie is also an Old Testament word used for idols, and they both occur in pairs very often, meaninglessness and lie. As the Septuagint translates, "Don't, O Lord, give me empty speech or lies." But you know, that's very hard to do. It's very hard because truth is a scarce commodity. We don't find it under every rock and at every street corner. We are born into a world of lie as liars, run by the chief liar, Satan himself. And as we live our lives, we live our lies. We go through each day looking at the world, thinking we see it, thinking we understand it, thinking we can handle it, and the truth is far from us. And so we exchange the truth of God and His glory for the lies of the world and of Satan and even our own selves. The second seems even stranger, that he would wish for neither poverty, well, that we can understand, nor riches. I would imagine the lottery would have a hard time if this was the attitude of everyone. "Oh, Lord, don't make me rich, whatever you do. Spare me the burden of wealth." Yeah, we find that sometimes hard to ask, don't we? "Spare me the burden of wealth," although we're happy to ask that God would not make us poor. What's most fascinating here is that Agur tells us the reason why he wants to be neither poor nor rich. For in wealth, it's easy to look around and say, "What do I need of God?" Mr. Spielberg, in 1994 and 1995, it was reported this morning, made $285 million by making movies. It's possible that we might be in the wrong business, that perhaps movie making would be the way to go if, in fact, we didn't have Agur's prayer at heart. Yes, wealth is a very tempting goal, but he asks to be spared that burden because he does not want to forget God. And God is really so forgettable, for after all, where do we find him around? Well, he can't be seen. Where do we look for him? Well, we study ourselves, look into our hearts, and listen to the voices of the rocks and the trees, as the latest Disney movie counsels us to do. And we hear only wind and no spirit. It's very hard to have an answer for both of these wishes from our brother Agur. "Keep falsehood and lies far from me. We mean by that, O Lord, teach us the truth. Grant me neither poverty nor riches, but grant me a focused life in you, O Lord." What kind of man would pray that prayer? One of the verses immediately preceding, in fact, the two verses immediately beforehand, tells us what kind of man asks this kind of prayer. "I am the most ignorant of men. I do not have a man's understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One." Now, that's really quite an admission for a wise man. And as a professor, I have to pray that prayer too for a professor to make. I know nothing. In this world, born into lies, and having lived lies, I know nothing. Who has gone up to God so that he might come back to us and report, he then asks. Who has brought us a report of the true one, the only one, the holy one, so distant, so far away from us? No one has. But where we could not make the trip, God himself has made the trip. The incarnation is the story of the only true one coming into a world of lies, of God in the flesh in the person of his Son. And Jesus says, I am the truth, and he is. And he calls us to know the truth, to know him who died and rose for us. The distance between God and man so great, so utterly impassable, God has bridged in himself, in the person of his Son, and on the cross reconciles us liars to himself, and on the cross provides for us a wealth that is beyond imagining, which the world could never conceive of or perceive. A wealth that is forgiveness and life and salvation for every one of us. A wealth far better than any other kind of riches. So that when we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ crucified and risen for us, we are never poor. If we even have nothing, we are rich. Matthew puts it this way when he counsels us as Christians in the 6th chapter of his gospel. And he talks to us about all of that stuff that normally occupies so much of our lives. If he could live today to see television and the printed media, I think he would say the same thing and say it in the same way. Seek ye first. This is Matthew's two wishes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, that right relationship with God that's possible only in Christ Jesus and him crucified, and its righteousness, the Spirit directed by word and sacrament, living out of that life in this world. And all these things will be added unto you. The counsel we hear as we kneel to pray the prayer of Arger at home and in our hearts, and as we stand in chapel or kneel here as well, is the same prayer. And we are directed by St. Peter in the theme of this week to keep that at the forefront throughout this week. He says in chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 of his epistle, something that sounds very much like something Augur would say, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and all your cares casting upon him, for he cares for you. And in Christ Jesus, he has cared for us and will care for us now and eternally in his name. Amen.